We're turning to Mark's Gospel in the chapter 11, and with God's Word open before us, let's bow just in a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we've got the Word of God before us this morning, and we ask Thee that Thou wouldest write it upon each one of our hearts. Cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with Thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach Thy Word. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. What we want to try to speak upon this morning is true worship, or worship that is acceptable to God. And you know, I always be looking for something or some sign in a prayer meeting before it that you're on the right track. And there was someone praying in the prayer meeting this morning about worshiping God. And that encouraged me, because I believe that that's what the Lord would have us do this morning. True worship, or worship acceptable to God. This land, north and south, has a multitude of religious services week by week. Here we have Jesus observing the temple worship. And our text is the verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Bethany was a village of about 1-2 miles from Jerusalem at the Mount of Olives, near the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. The name Bethany has been known as the House of Dates. It was the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And it was to this home that Jesus found a resting place among those whom he loved and who were ever ready to welcome him and to devote their time and substance to him. It was a place where Jesus often visited and was welcomed, and he was worshipped as Lord and Savior. In Mark 11, we see Jesus going into the temple to the house of worship. And having looked around and not liking what he saw, he left and he went to Bethany. Money changers had contaminated the house of God. And we find the Lord Jesus Christ moving out of the temple. And Jesus then gives us a picture, because he went back the next day, and it says in verse 12, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, and he headed to the temple. And then in verse 15 to 17, he gives us a picture of what was happening. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught them, saying, is it not written, my house shall be of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves? What was supposed to be a house of worship had become a market. What was supposed to be a house of prayer had become a den of thieves. And Jesus left the so-called house of worship, and Jesus went to Bethany, where he was loved, where he was respected, and where he was worshipped. Jesus still today comes to our churches Sunday by Sunday as we meet to worship God. Now, of course, Jesus has left many churches that have become social clubs and apostatized from God's word. There's no longer the place of true worship. All man-centered and entertainment centers. All over we see the falling away that is prophesied in the scriptures for the last day. Sedans in Belfast is just one of the many where they're going to install a priest as a canon there at this time. But right across this land there is a falling away, and the social clubs. And you know, it is sad to see that so many churches that once were bright for the Lord no longer have the preaching of the Word of God. But I want us to think this morning, how does our church way up to Bethany comes to where the church is, the people of God is, gathered to worship and expects to find those who, like Lazarus and Martha and Mary, love, respect and worship him. And the Lord comes with that to each one of our churches. Let us go to Bethany this morning and see true worship. In Mark 14, it tells us there that Jesus had arrived in Bethany to the house of Simon the leper. As Jesus sat at meat, a woman came to him with a box of very costly ointment, 1 year's wages, and she brake it and poured it on his head. In the verse 3 of Mark 14, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. Here we have a woman who was so keen to worship Jesus that her heart was surrendered to Jesus, and she gave what she could to Jesus. In verse 8, she hath done what she could, the Lord Jesus said of her. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And here we have a woman, and her worship cost her money. This ointment was expensive. It cost her time. She had to leave her house and she had to come to where Jesus was. Popularity. She lost popularity, rebuked by some who were there. In verses 4 and 5, there was those that murmured, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. But Jesus commended her for her worship. She had a heart surrendered to Jesus, and all that mattered to her was to please the Lord Jesus. Now, it cost her money, it cost her time, and it cost her popularity. And you know, as a child of God who comes to worship God on the Lord's Day, are you surrendered to the Lord Jesus? Is this church a temple to which Jesus comes, looks round, and leaves? Or does he find in us those like this woman surrendered to the Lord Jesus? You see, to be fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus means it will cost you money. A tenth of your income belongs unto the Lord. And you know, if you earn £200, £20 belongs to the Lord. Now, you have to be careful you don't do what a farmer did way up in County Antrim. He, at every penny that came into the farm, he took 10% of it and he put himself almost out of business. It's the income, your wages, that the 10% comes from. And you know, it's good to set it aside and give it to the Lord. And then, of course, there's the gifts. Christians cannot do shady deals. They must be honest in all the dealings with our fellow man. If we're surrendered to the Lord, then in all our dealings with our neighbors, with our business, and our business and everything, we must be above board, absolutely 100%. Money you could be earning in overtime on prayer meeting night, not working on a Sunday, except, of course, the works of necessity and mercy. To be fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus means it will cost you time. To come to the house of God when meetings have been arranged, morning, evening, and prayer meetings. And you know, it's sad to say that it used to be in the Free Presbyterian Church that the evening services were the biggest service. God's people came out in the morning. And then there was a lot of outsiders and unsaved people came in the evening. And you know, most evening services in most churches now are down. The unsaved and the outsiders have stopped coming. And now, in recent years the God's people have stopped coming out on a Sunday night. Where do they go to? Do they go visiting? Do they sit and watch TV? Well, you say a Christian wouldn't watch TV on a Sunday, would they not? I was out for a coffee with a man. Now, he wasn't a free pea, but he was a godly man. And whatever he was talking about, something on the TV the night before, I said, what? When did you see that? I seen it last night on the TV. And he didn't even realize it was the Sabbath day he was talking about. Bad enough watching the garbage on the TV on an ordinary day. Most of it couldn't be. I shouldn't be watched. There was something in the paper the other day there where two men were lying at one of those soap operas, was at Coronation Street, kissing each other in the bed, and it was created an awful furore. And you know, we need to be very careful in these days if we're surrendered to the Lord, that we support the means as arranged. Except, of course, in the case of the sick and the elderly, that's understandable. To be fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus means it will cost you popularity. You see, to refuse to be part of the world and its pleasures, to stand against sin, is not popular in this day and age. It's not easy to swim against the tide. If you stand against sex before marriage, if you stand against adultery, if you stand against homosexuality, if you stand for the Ten Commandments as your standard, then you will not be popular in the world today. Many Christians today have no problem going to places of worldly entertainment that they wouldn't have dared to went to years ago. To be fully surrendered to Jesus will cost you your pride. In John 12 and verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, of course, she didn't wash his feet because Jesus never sinned. Therefore, he did not need his feet washed as did his disciples when he took and washed the disciples' feet. And here we see Mary on the ground before Jesus, casting her glory at the feet of Jesus. Now, a woman's hair is her glory. We don't need the Bible to tell us that because most women think their hair has to be in place. But in 1 Corinthians 11:14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Pride of place, of heart, has no place in the church of Christ. God hated pride. And you and I this morning are only sinners saved by grace. Pride is an idol. And of course, the biggest idol of all is self. There's so many people today, and the only one they think about is themselves. I. And it doesn't make any difference what the Bible teaches. Doesn't make any difference what anybody else thinks. It is me all the time. Dagon, the fish god of the Philistines, fell in the presence of God. And if you want to worship God, then pride must be removed from your heart. Nothing ruins a church as when believers are full of pride. Are you and I willing to lie at the feet of Jesus, casting our all at his service, mocked even by believers as you take the road of full surrender? And you know, that happens with different people have said to me, don't be old-fashioned in your views. Come into the year 2016, it's different. And you know, they think that God has changed over the years and God's standards has changed, but they haven't. Christianity today says don't go overboard. Live life to the full. You know, and the heart where Christ is enthroned is a heart where self is dethroned. It's not I, but Christ. To be fully surrendered to Jesus means a heart that is right before God. In Luke 10:38, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him enter her home. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at the feet, Jesus' feet, and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore to help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which should not be taken away from her. Here was a woman working for the Lord Jesus, yet annoyed that her sister was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mary was learning from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, there is a time to serve the Lord. There, and Martha was in service for Jesus. There's a time for learning from the Lord and having fellowship with the Lord. And Mary was in fellowship with Jesus. Why have you come to church this morning? You say, I've come to worship God. Have you come in a hurry? Have you come thinking of something else? Maybe you're thinking about your dinner. And don't worry, you'll be out. My first point is very long, but the last of them are short, so you'll be back. You needn't worry about the roast beef being burnt or anything. Thinking of how soon the service will be over, thinking about how you will do this afternoon or what you will do this afternoon or tomorrow, thinking about how good you look compared to other brothers and sisters. You know, people do that. And they think, oh, I've been to such and such a shop and I've got this outfit and I look much better than the rest of them. Maybe you woke up this morning and you thought, no, it's Sundays. I suppose I better go to church or they'll be talking about me if I don't go. Maybe you're sitting here and your mind's gone completely. There was a fellow I worked with and belonged to the Brethren, actually. And he told me he caught, had to catch himself on. He was sitting in the Brethren Hall and the preaching was going on, and the place he worked in, he was filling the lorry for the next Monday morning, and his mind and what would go into it, and his mind wasn't with it at all. And you know, sometimes that happens. We're in church and we don't even begin to think. We're not thinking about the Lord. Do you think for 1 minute Jesus will accept the attitude you have arrived with? Or have you been up early this morning, you've read God's word, you've prayed for the services, you've prayed for your family, you've prayed for fellow believers? It's not easy in this world of hustle and bustle. And when you read the Bible, does it thrill your heart or does it just a duty to be done? Have you come with a heart bursting with the joy of the Lord, wanting to sing the praises of the Lord with gusto and with all your being? Will you rid your mind of all the problems of the week for 1 hour and concentrate on worshiping God? Is your heart a Bethany this morning? Is my heart a Bethany? Because the pulpit, the man in the pulpit's just the same as the man in the pew. And our hearts have to be right with the Lord. Is this church a Bethany? We need a sold out sign on our heart. Sold out to Jesus. But then not only was Bethany the place of surrender to Jesus, but Bethany was the place of service for Jesus. Jesus was at Bethany when he told his disciples to go and get a colt for him. And they obeyed immediately his command. Now, it was a strange command, yet they never questioned the will of God. Go to a stranger and take his colt. And as we read, and they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. They brought the colt so that Jesus might use it to ride into Jerusalem. Their willingness was blessed of God. Their task was no great preaching, just going for a colt. Yet God blessed their service. And you know, it's not always the preacher in the pulpit that is going to get the rewards when we get to heaven. There are many, many people who work for the Lord, maybe a doorkeeper, maybe cleaning the church, working with children, teaching Sunday school. Maybe none of those things at all. Maybe just praying. And I believe in that day, as I said earlier, there will be many rewards handed out to God's people who people don't even see or know, but they spend time in prayer, praying for God's work and for the things of the Lord. But their task was blessed of God. It wasn't great as far as the eyes of the world was concerned, but they were obedient. The first service, of course, for Jesus is to live a holy life. Did you get that? The first service for you and I as God's children is to live a holy life. No exceptions taken. That's the standard. Now, we need not to forget that. And unless you're serving the Lord Monday to Saturday, you cannot worship God on a Sunday. If you're living a life for the world and for self from Monday to Saturday, and then you come to the house of God, what a difference it is. If we live for the Lord day by day, are you willing to serve God today, whatever task that may be he asks of you, small or large? Before you serve, you must have a heart that's right before God. Martha and Mary and Lazarus were servants to Jesus. They gave their home, they gave their time, they gave their friendship to Jesus. Are you willing to give up self and serve God every day? You know, if not, you're backslidden. If you're backslidden this morning or you're cold of heart, you're walking afar off and have been, take Psalm 51. Get on your knees before God and cry unto God David's prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. And we need day by day to have a heart that's right with God, that we can serve him and that we can serve him as he wants us to serve him. Bethany was the place of surrender to Jesus. It was a place of service to Jesus. But you know, it was the place of special blessing. It was from Bethany that Jesus left his disciples and ascended into heaven and was privileged to hear the message that Jesus would return for the church of Jesus Christ. In Luke 24, we read there in verse 50, and he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. You see, there was God's children. And they had went out with the Lord Jesus. And he disappeared from them up into heaven. But you know what a tremendous thing it was, because in Acts 1:9-11, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. What a tremendous blessing that those disciples had. And what tremendous blessing we have this morning as the children of the Lord, as we look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus. And you know, the signs are all over the world today of the approaching end time. We see the falling away amongst Christians before that has to come before the Antichrist appears. There will be a falling away. We see the whole unrest in the Middle East. And if we had God's eye, we could see it all being set up according to his plan and to his purpose for the rise of the Antichrist and for all those things that must take place before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And then What does the Bible tell us to look up? For our redemption draweth nigh. And you and I can have that special blessing of knowing that in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of what's happening in our own country, that God's plan and purpose is being worked out. I ask you now, as an individual, as Jesus has come to our service, has he left realizing that your worship or mine has been half-hearted, or out of a sense of duty, or out of a sense of routine? Or has he found amongst us that we're a group of believers whose hearts are bursting with praise and worship? Amens and hallelujahs. You don't get the amens and hallelujahs now that used to be years ago. But of course, that can go overboard too and become a ritual. But we need to have hearts that are full of the joy of the Lord. That our heart, that our church is a Bethany where Jesus loves to dwell and to be worshipped. And that's what I want to ask you this morning. Is your heart a Bethany? Does the Lord Jesus Christ have preeminence in your heart and in my heart day by day? Does this church that you and I love, is it a church where those who come, they come with a heart that is prepared to worship the Lord? Or do they just come out of routine because it's the thing to do on a Sunday morning? You know, we need to sit down in these days and think about what the Bible teaches and what God wants us to do, because we need to order our lives according to the Word of God. And then lastly, in a short, Bethany was the place of comfort for sorrowing believers. And you know, in John's Gospel, at the chapter 11, we have there Lazarus, death. And verse 33, it tells us, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And in verse 35, just two simple words, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the sympathizing Jesus. And whatever problem that you have in life this morning, whether it's sickness, whether it's problems with family, whether it's problems with your neighbors, and you shouldn't have them, you should live peaceably with all men. But whatever your problems in life is, there is a sympathizing Jesus. When death comes, as it will to every home, the Lord Jesus Christ understands how we feel. And you know, some of these fireside lawyers, even amongst Christians, will tell Christians, oh, you should be strong. You shouldn't cry. You're saved by God's grace. And I've said to them, you're talking a load of nonsense. We are human beings. And if Jesus, the Son of God, wept, is it not right for you and I to weep when we feel like it? That we can weep and know that our Lord Jesus understands and comes and comforts us and helps us and blesses us. Bethany was a place of surrender to Jesus, of service to Jesus, of special blessing to Jesus, to believers. It was a place of comfort for the sorrowing believers. And you know, you and I this morning need to remember that whatever your problem is, the Lord Jesus understands. And he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's not like these American televangelists that say, oh, if you send me £100, you will get all that you ever want and all your problems will disappear. Well, you know, that's fantasy world. It's not scriptural. But God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, and his grace is sufficient for you and I this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you cannot worship God in spirit and in truth. Yes, you come to the house of God, you sing the hymns, you listen to the preaching of the Word of God. But those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And until you're saved and born again, you cannot worship God in the manner that he expects. And if you're not saved this morning, then I would ask you, why are you not saved? Maybe you've come to the church through the Sunday school, Bible class, for years, and you're still not saved. You've heard the gospel. Will you not come this morning, put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you can come here week by week, truly worshiping the Lord. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts this morning. Let's bow in prayer, please.